This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
This is Josh Kelso. I'm joined by Tom Engsted, Tyler Azeltime, and we have a special guest, the privilege of having Sam Pagel with us for this segment. We're going to be talking about corporate worship in song and God's intention for the people of God joining together, singing, lifting up our voices to God. There's a lot of different views, a lot of different practices regarding corporate worship. And what I want to do today is have a conversation, particularly as it relates to Gilbert Bible Church's practice on corporate singing, some of the driving principles and practices, and then maybe some practical helps for us and preparing our hearts and thinking about that time that we get to sing together. So, Sam, maybe tell us a little bit just I think it was 13 years ago, because it was when Kyla was born, when we called you up and requested you come in and start helping lead worship corporate song at Grace Bible Church.
Yeah.
And so you took a significant role participating in leadership there. And then you've been leading as a deacon that ministry at Gilbert Bible Church for the last, since its inception, 2.5 years. Maybe talk a little bit about just your heart for corporate worship, why you want to serve that way, what led to you wanting to serve that way.
Well, it was actually at 2 a.m., I think, that you called me.
That's
and said,
true.
We're going to the hospital.
Yeah.
And it was you know, kind of thrown in at the deep end, but it was really sweet. I'll back up to even, you know, before that, when I first came to Grace Bible Church, Josh, and you were leading the music ministry there, and then as I started to serve on the team, I really saw the heart behind that ministry, which wasn't just, hey, we sing good songs that people enjoy singing, you know, hey, when a new song comes out on the radio, like, we're going to do it, we're going to sing it at church. It was, everything was grounded in truth, and there was a very strict, like, care that went into choosing songs that you would sing with the body at the church. And so that's always just been the core of, and it should be the core of worship. You want to worship in truth. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that in John 5, I think, worship God in spirit and in truth, or John 4:22. And so why would we want to sing words that are untrue? You wouldn't want that from the pulpit. You wouldn't want people, you know, talking about that after the service or whatever. So it needs to start with words and lyrics that are absolutely grounded in scripture and true. I think another kind of core thing that I've learned is that music, singing, corporate singing is not the only form of worship that mm-hmm. you do as mm-hmm. part of a church body. And so it's a little tiny thing, but when people, you know, say, oh, you know, are you on the worship team? Are you the worship leader? It's a little thing, but it's like, well, that's not the only way that we worship. Like, mm-hmm. we shouldn't categorize that as this is the only part of the church service or mm-hmm. part of church body life that is worship to God. There are many other forms of worship. Corporate singing, music team, I think is just a better way to categorize it. I think the baseline of, like, you know, why do we do this? Why is this part of our church service every week? Why do we do this in our fellowship groups? We're commanded to sing. Hmm. We're commanded in scripture to sing. Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, it's part of being a believer in Christ is singing with thankful hearts, singing truth. And I could go on. I have a lot of notes here.
That's great. No, that's a excellent starting point when we're talking about corporate worship and song, corporate singing together. I think it might seem minor or nitpicking to talk about, well, that's not the only time we're worshiping, but I think it is significant, because how you think about that time of singing together, if that's what you think about worship, you're missing what God calls us to be as living sacrifices that are presented to Him as worship. Worshipers. Our whole life is to be worship. And so worship isn't something that starts and stops with the music on on for us Saturday night right now, or a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever fellowship group is meeting. But our whole lives are to be worship to God, and God has unique intention for his people in corporate singing together, yeah, and worshiping him in song corporately together. So maybe talk about that. You mentioned Ephesians 5 or Colossians 3. What are the biblical principles that should drive our thinking and our practice of corporate worship in song? That's primarily what we're talking about today. But if we're thinking about worship is all of life, now we want to worship as we sing together as the body. What are the driving principles that come to mind, maybe for any of you men, when we think about corporate worship and song?
Yeah, what comes to mind is what Sam said about we sing truth. If God allows us to worship in song, and when it, with like any command, when we do what God has called us to do, it will go well with us. And if we're singing truth, we are informing our thinking. If we're singing things that are not helpful or untrue or maybe not even about God, it may not go so well with your thinking. Sam, I really appreciated your comment, though, just how purposeful just to be singing truth.
Yeah, and I think if you look at Colossians 3, the first part of that verse says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's the precursor to then, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And there is a very corporate nature to the commands we see in Scripture. It's speaking to one another. It's singing to one another. Ephesians 5 says that as well, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And both of those passages, and there's other passages about singing, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, the object of our worship is God. We are worshiping God. We're not worshiping the struggles we had during the week. And we're not talking about, where we were and now what we're doing. The object of our worship should be God. We should be marveling at God and at his son Jesus and at the work of the Holy Spirit. We should be thankful. We should be expressing thankfulness. And so that's just another small thing that I think is really important that we practice in just what songs we choose to sing. We're careful to not choose songs that just talk about us and our own struggles or our own. I mean, those things are important to think about in the Christian walk, but we want our object of worship to be God. And so I would much rather spend time singing corporately about the work of Christ and the gospel and being thankful for what the Lord has done in our hearts and our lives, rather than songs that we could sing about, how hard life is or things like that.
Yeah. I especially appreciate the reference in Colossians 3. I think it's informative for us that the call is to let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, and we're teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so what you said is absolutely right. God is the object of our worship. We're singing to him. We are worshiping him. We are glorifying him in what we are doing. But there's also a horizontal nature of our corporate singing, where when we are declaring these truths about God or these truths about truth from Scripture, who God is, what he's done, what he's accomplished, there's a instructive effect for the church as a whole, for each other, where we are being encouraged, directed, admonished with truth. And so when thinking about our church, when thinking about what church should be about in the corporate singing, it's really worship directed towards God, glorifying God, and truth proclaimed and remembered and encouraged among one another. There's a dual nature.
Yeah.
We have God as our ultimate audience, and yet this isn't a rogue moment of personal worship. I remember years ago when I first started leading music at Grace, hearing from some who were going to different churches, just a very sweet sentiment, but they would talk about, oh, my favorite part of the week is worship on Sunday morning when I just close my eyes and everything drifts away and it's just me and God. And I remember that sounds really sweet, and I'm glad that time was meaningful for that person, but they were missing out on all that God desires that time to be. Does that mean you can't at home during a quiet time or in the car turn up the radio, listen to, you know, worship music, Christian music that's focused on God, and have wonderful personal intimate times with God? Mm-hmm. That's great. Christians should do that. That's wonderful. But that's not what God intends for the corporate singing of the body of Christ together. And again, not that you shouldn't close your eyes. That's okay. But we want to hear one another.
Yeah.
We want to be reminded of these truths. If you think about one time a week as a corporate body, we all get together and verbally declare truths about God and unite in mind and heart in those truths. I don't want to come short of that by either my own expectations of trying to separate myself and my mind from everybody else. I want to hear people sing. I want to be reminded of those truths. So
that principle does factor into some of the preferences. There's a lot of preferences that come with music and singing. But if you live out that principle of corporate worship, we should be seeking to serve one another in that, and that will drive you as a church to think through things like, how loud is the music? How does the music team function as, you know, the leaders of that corporate worship? At Gilbert Bible, we don't want to put on a show. We don't want to put on a production, but we also don't want to be distractions.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be prepared, and we want to do things well so that, you know, people are not, they're not thinking like, oh, here comes another big mistake, or, you know, oh, the music team is never prepared, but they try really hard. So there's a balance there of like, we don't want to try to incite, you know, this big emotional experience. Because one of the things, Josh, that you first taught me in just kind of shepherding me through how to lead the music team well is, as a music team and as a music leader, we're not responsible for how God is worshiped in song, in corporate song. God is the one that directs that. Mm-hmm. We have responsibilities to steward that ministry well, but ultimately it's up to God to direct his own worship. And we just don't want to get in the way of that. We don't want to be distracting. So there are principles that can come from that and even can inform our preferences as a church body on how we sing together in corporate music worship.
That's good. Yeah, we don't get to write the script on what worship is pleasing to the Lord. He already has given it to us, and he's already enabled it. You know, what Christ has accomplished on the cross in the gospel has made us worshipers, has enabled us to be able to worship God. And so that's right. We want to get out of the way. We want to not be a distraction. We want to point and shepherd the body to truth. But that's freeing. But ultimately, if we make a mistake or everything doesn't go according to our plan, we can still worship God. And we can still remind these. So we got to put the emphasis on where God puts the emphasis, which is truth, the body being engaged. And that's something every believer is called to sing with one another.
Yeah, Sam, you alluded to Colossians 3:16 a couple of times. And how that verse ends is, we are singing with all gratitude. And to think about singing with gratitude, our singing has to be about God. It has to be about what God has done, what God has promised to do. And I think it's sweet that just to be thinking about these things of why we do it corporately with gratitude. Just humbling.
Tyler, you've at different seasons served on the music team. I remember one of our first conversations when you were a young Christian and engaging in the church actively. One of the things you said at lunch that we had together when I asked you how you wanted to serve was, well, I really love singing, but I'm not in a place I should be leading anybody right now. You wanted to do setup and teardown, but it's always been on your heart to sing and to love singing to the Lord. And it wasn't too long after that, I mean, maybe just a year or two, where you had just shown extreme faithfulness and service and even joined the music team and sang, and you've helped out many years. How would you encourage the believer to prepare their heart to be ready for corporate singing in the corporate worship service? What are some maybe guiding principles or encouragements you'd give?
Yeah, I think Romans 12, the fact that worship does not start when we arrive on a Sunday morning or a Saturday evening, but worship is to be what your life is about. You are to serve others because of God's grace in your life. Hmm. I think practicing that, desiring to honor Him with the rest of your life, remembering truth from His Word as you read it daily, should just fuel a life of worship. Hmm. And when you get together with your best friends and sing about those truths that you've already been thinking about this week, as you've been shepherding your heart with the gospel and with truth from God's Word, it should be a highlight of the week, because you love the truth that you get to sing and you love the people that you get to sing with.
There's a sweetness to, you know, throughout the week, maybe you've studied a certain book or a certain passage, and you come to church and you're singing principles and you're singing the words that you've been looking at in God's Word, and there's just a sweetness to that. There's such a sweetness to knowing, you know, there's some lyrics that are confusing, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a sweetness to knowing what those mean, where they're found in Scripture, that is just, you know, more impactful if you're just like you're going through the week and counting on that one time a week where you come and you worship together. That's the one time a week you do that. There's a sweetness to letting the Word of Christ dwell richly within you throughout the week as you prepare your heart. Mm.
Something I know we did at Grace Bible Church, and you've continued it at Gilbert Bible Church, was have a weekly music devotion with just a verse or passage, a short paragraph or two devotional, and then the songs that we'll be singing that Saturday, so that people could know what's coming. What songs are we going to be singing? What truth is it based out of? What's just some simple shepherding insight, encouragement to prepare my heart? And I think that's been really helpful for us as a church, for those especially that utilize that resource, to have thought through what songs we're going to sing, what truth we're going to sing, so that you're not coming in fresh and the first time you're thinking about whatever we're singing is in the moment. And sometimes that happens too, and God still uses that. But I've really appreciated the ability to know and prepare for the corporate singing together, not only as a leader, but just as a participant, a member in the body of Christ. And that's been encouraging to me personally, the way that you've kept that and the thoughtfulness and intentionality. And then I know, Sam, you're always so faithful and thoughtful. When you add new songs, you send them, hey, what do you think about this? Mm. Any questions, concerns? And you'll send me a song and have passages associated with almost every line in the song explaining how the truth in the song is connected to Scripture. And I remember one time I'm like, hey, I appreciate that, but I don't want you to feel like you have to do that with me on every song. And you're like, no, I don't feel that way. It's a great exercise for me. I want to keep doing it. And that's just something that most in the body wouldn't know the thought and intentionality that goes into that. But you wouldn't want a pastor that just stands up and picks a verse and preaches it in the moment and hasn't given any thought. And when we're singing truth, we need to be singing truth. There needs to be theological integrity. And so, Sam, thank you for your diligence in that, your thoughtfulness in that. I know that's been a huge, huge blessing to me. I guess I didn't really have a question there, but.
Well, I've learned to do that the hard way. I've been gently corrected and admonished in years past by sweet elders at Grace Bible Church for maybe a song or two where they're like, hey, what were you thinking choosing that song? I was like, oh. I don't know. What do you think about that song? And like, well, let's look at what God's word says about this line in the song. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow. So there has to be, I mean, and you know, there, sometimes there's songs where we're just like, we really like this song. Mm-hmm. And there's one line or two lines where it's just like, we can't sing that.
Yeah.
We just can't, and we can't justify that. Why would we let that, even if it's like a very subtle doctrinal issue. Mm-hmm. There was one Christmas song we introduced years ago at Grace Bible Church, and it was a line taken out of an Old Testament passage that the song was trying to attribute to Christ's birth, and it wasn't. It was actually about Christ's second coming. Mm. And so one of the elders at Grace Bible Church very gently said, hey, let's look at what that passage is actually referring to. And it was like, wow, okay, need to be really careful.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. You know, Josh, you mentioning the devotional that Sam sends out weekly, be a good time to plug. If you're not getting the devotional, just let us know, and we'll make sure that you're on the email distribution every week so you can just be preparing your own heart before you even come to service.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, so just want to summarize a couple things that we've talked about. Corporate worship and song, all of life is worship. The church singing together is to be grounded in truth. It is both to God with thankfulness and to each other for encouragement. That impacts things like lighting, volume, arrangements, all of those types of things are impact. I know we have a decibel reader that we use to try to hit the sweet spot, the completely subjective sweet spot of not too quiet to where people don't want to sing, not too loud to where you can't hear one another. We have a devotional email to help be prepared to know what songs we're singing. We want it to be truth, obviously, again. In practice, if we're coming together, God's word's going to be dwelling richly. What are some heart level things I can do practically when distractions arise? I mean, we've talked about the ideal of what that time is. It's also usually front loaded on our worship service. Sometimes you come in late. Sometimes the trip to church might have come with complications or issues with kids, issues with our spouse, a conversation that maybe didn't go well on the way to church. How should we think about that moment of corporate singing if we find ourselves in a circumstance where we are flustered, our hearts aren't engaged, there's been conflict? What do we do with that? How do we maximize that time when having to navigate some of the complexities that come with life or even our own sin? How would you help somebody think through that?
Silence as we look at each other. Begin your repentance now. You know, I remember even with being an empty nester, there's times it's just hard to get out the door. And the rushing of the urgency. Begin the repentance now. Yeah, it will go well with me to be clear-headed to worship the Lord. Hmm. I need to set it aside. Make a commitment that, hey, I need to follow up on this little mess I made on the way to church. Hmm. Begin your repentance now in worship.
Hmm. So let's say you spoke harshly to a child You walk in the worship service. You're singing songs. Your conscience is pricked. I can't sing this. I know what I just said to my child. What is repentance? What might it look like in that moment? Should I just sing in the moment as if nothing happened? Should I pull my child and leave the worship center and confess it as sin to them? What if somebody's really struggling in their heart, what would be maybe some principles?
The first principle, at a minimum, between you and God, agree with God. Mm. God, my attitude was sinful. Mm. And make a commitment in the midst of your confession. I need to clean this up as soon as possible. Mm.
That's good. Sam, Tyler, you have young kids in the home now. I remember one week I was leading music and one of our young children made a mess of themselves in their diaper 10 minutes before service. And we were scrambling to clean things up. And, you know, your heart gets pulled in a bunch of different directions right before you're about to have this wonderful moment that it would be lovely if it was just the ideal and you could just focus on the Lord and distractions arise. What are some things you guys do just to be well prepared to respond to the, you know, fluctuations of life that come up in those moments?
What do you think, Tyler?
Oh, man. Knowing that worship is not dependent upon me is really, really helpful. You have the same sort of thing in a classroom for children's ministry. Okay, we have this lesson plan. I'm going to do this. We're going to pray. We're going to eat snack. We're going to do the lesson. The lesson's going to go this long. And somebody asks a question you weren't expecting them to ask, or something goes wrong. Things are just going to go not according to our plan, and that's okay. My plan is not God's plan. Mm. and that is okay in any arena of life. I need to trust him with what he's given. He knew what I was going to need in this moment, what the children around me were going to need in this moment. And I can just seek to be faithful. Mm. There have been times, sitting in the second row on the right side over here where I've seen a kid do something and I've grabbed them and pulled them close to me and whispered in their ear, right now, we are trying to honor the Lord by singing this together. Mm. And we don't want to be a distraction to the people around us. Mm. We want to care for others by participating or by not being a distraction. Mm. In one of two ways. And we want to honor those around us by doing that. And I think you can have a little whisper conversation if this is something you have talked about before, if this has been a priority outside of the moment that you've been helping prepare your kids to be ready for, you've been helping to prepare your own heart to be ready for, then you can make an adjustment in the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's a level of heart shepherding throughout the week, you know, the day before, the day of, and then when, you know, emergencies arrive or something doesn't go the way that you had planned, just remembering that God is sovereign over that time and over that worship. And it doesn't mean it's going to make things easy, like diapers and all that stuff with little kids, but just remembering that and having that mindset, going into worship, not feeling like, okay, I need to be super focused and I need to make sure that I'm making the most of this time and I need to be, you know, singing in tune and all these different things that you're going through your head, but like, no, this is a time that the Lord is sovereign over. Mm-hmm. And I need to submit to what he has for my life and be thankful for it. So
if the extent of your worship is confined to that five songs a week together, then you're going to want to control what happens leading up to that and in that. As we talked about at the very beginning, if all of life is worship, then if under God's providence an interruption comes, you can still keep worshiping God with what he has for you, even if you have to postpone or adjust your expectations in that moment. If worship of God is serving your family by caring for an unruly child, you can worship God in doing that and trust him with what goes from there. So, Sam, thank you for joining us. This is helpful. We so appreciate your ministry to Gilbert Bible Church and treasure and love the time that we have each week to sing together.
Amen. Thank you for your ministry to us. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.